Well, I do appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning. And if you have a piece of paper, and incidentally, if you have the bulletin, there's a lot of white space on that, and you can just take notes on that. A piece of paper, I would suggest that you might want to jot down some of the references. You know, I often tell people, if I'd gone to Texas A&M like most people go to church, I never would have graduated. Because you can walk into a class and listen to the man speak and walk in there 2 weeks later or a month later, try to pass an exam, and you don't have a chance unless you've taken some notes. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There's something very deceiving about listening, but God's interesting in us obeying what we hear. Now, this morning, I've been asked to speak to you about memorizing Scripture. And I know when I say that, some of you think, oh, no, I don't have a good memory. Well, let me say, first of all, we live in a country where we have tremendous privileges. We have the Bible, and probably at your home you have the Bible in a number of translations. There are people in the world today that do not have a Bible even translated in their language. And some of those people, even if it is translated in their language, they do not have a Bible. And we have such a precious treasure. And 2 Timothy 3:15, he says, and that from a child you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation. And I would just say to you this morning, if there are any of you here and you've never come to know Jesus Christ, the Scriptures can make you wise unto salvation and point you to the only way that any man will ever enter eternity, and that's through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. As we heard Wilson quote this morning from Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And if you're here and you've never come to know Christ, you're just like a ship in the desert. It may be a good-looking ship, but a ship is not made for the desert. It's made for the seas. And you will never fulfill the purpose for which you were created if you never come to know Jesus Christ personally. For you were created for His glory. And so we would invite you, whatever you do today, to come to know Christ in a personal way. Now, the whole objective of Scripture memory is to begin to get the Word of God in your heart so the Holy Spirit has a vocabulary with which He can speak to you. How does the Holy Spirit speak? And many times you've heard people like Tom and others say, you know, God told me this or God spoke to me. Sometimes God may impress something upon you, but the primary way in which the Holy Spirit speaks is through His Word. And so memorizing the Word is to get it into your life so God can use it in your life anytime He wants to, and it's there to share with anyone else anytime God wants to use it. You know, I heard a friend say years ago, and I echo that, if God took my vocal cords tomorrow, and I do have one that's already paralyzed, if God took my vocal cords tomorrow, I would continue to memorize verses. If I could never speak another word, I do not primarily memorize verses so I can share with other people. That's part of it, but I primarily memorize verses so God can use those verses in my own life. Now, when you became a Christian, you received a new spirit. And many people don't understand what happens when they first become a Christian. But when you become a Christian, you receive a new spirit, but you do not receive a new mind. And that's why Paul wrote in Romans 12:2, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Your mind has to be renewed. It has to be made new because you have all these old thought patterns, and you need to begin to think like God thinks now. And the only way you're going to do that is to begin to get the Word of God in your mind so the Holy Spirit can use that to begin to transform you. How many times in life have you made mistakes and you wish you hadn't have done certain things? Maybe you bought something and later you regretted it. Maybe it was a car and you later had a hard time paying for it. Or maybe it's some decision you made. Well, you know, sometimes God wants to warn us about things if we just ask Him. And sometimes I'm reading along in my quiet time and I come across a verse that really speaks to me. And some time ago, I came across Joshua 9:14. God had sent the children of Israel into the land, and He said, destroy the people, run them out, it's your land, I'm giving it to you. Well, they had done that with some of the people, but a neighboring tribe came to them one day and they got old crusty bread, old worn out wineskins, and old sandals, and they came and said, "Look, we come from a far country. Make a treaty with us." And Joshua 9:14 says, "And they looked at their provisions and did not ask counsel of the Lord." As a result of that, they made a terrible mistake. If they had asked God, He would have told them. Now, there are many, many times in your life when you make mistakes because of one reason. You do not know the Scriptures. In Matthew 22:29, Jesus says, "You do err. You do make mistakes because you do not know the Scriptures nor the power of God." You know, in Psalms 119:133, "Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me." Psalms 119:9-11, and young people, you need to especially pick up on this one. "Wherewithal shall a young man," a young person, "cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And Psalms 19:11 says, "Moreover by them," that is by the Scriptures, "moreover by them is thy servant warned. And in the keeping of them there is great reward." God will often warn us through the Scriptures about mistakes you're about to make. And if you get the word in your heart, you'll be amazed at what He'll do. Now, why do we not memorize God's Word? Why don't we really treasure it enough to really work at memorizing it? And let me give you some reasons I've heard through the years. One is, I can't memorize. My mother, about probably around 70, 75 at the time, told me that one day when I talked to her about Scripture memory. "Oh, son, you don't understand. I never went to college. I just graduated from high school. I haven't memorized much of anything since high school. And I just can't memorize." So I said, "Mother, sit down. I want to share something with you. Let's take this verse, the verse that you're to memorize as a church, or one that you can memorize this week, 1 Corinthians 10:31. It says, 'Whether therefore you eat or drink.'" Now, Mother, repeat that. 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Whether therefore you eat or drink." 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Where therefore you eat or drink." 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Where therefore you eat or drink." So we did that several times. "Or whatsoever you do." "Where therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do." So we did that a few times. And then we took the rest of the verse. 1 Corinthians 10:31. "Where therefore you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." 1 Corinthians 10:31. We looked at the watch. In less than 5 minutes, she had memorized a verse. We say, "Well, I don't have a good memory." Let me ask you this. You know your phone number? You know where you live? I could ask you this. Who won the national championship in football this year? That's a good one. How many games did they win? What was the score in the Orange Bowl? Now, you young people know that. Some of you older ones might not. Your problem is not that you don't have a good memory. You may not have a trained memory. I don't have a good memory. I can promise you that's true. It's not a matter of having a good memory. It's a matter of working at it. I bet you that Jeannie Eliff, if she was here, could tell you the name of all 13 grandkids. Isn't that about right? About 13, maybe 16, but now I'm not sure. You know, I bet she could not only tell you the names of those grandkids, but she could tell you from the family from which they came. She knows her mom and dad. You know, when I was in seminary one day, I went into the barber shop. And the man said, "You know, Max, through the years, I've cut the hair of a lot of the professors here. They come in, we talk about different things. But I've got a nephew that memorizes verses. Every time he crawls up in the barber chair, he shares a verse with me that he's memorizing that week." He said, "You know, it's a delight. He's meant more to me than all those professors." And then he said something very significant. He said, "You know, Max, I've noticed something. If you don't have to memorize something, you don't memorize it unless it means something to you." Could it be that one of the reasons we don't memorize is because in reality the Scriptures do not mean that much to us? Don't hide behind the thing that I can't memorize. I'm going to share with you this morning, there's not a person under the sound of my voice but what you can memorize a verse this week. One of the other excuses, well, you take verses out of context. You know these people that memorize verses, they take them out of context. Well, you don't have to take them out of context. If I were to ask you, what is the story of David and Goliath? You say, oh, it's in the Old Testament. Well, how long would it take you to find it? I know where the story of David and Goliath is because one day I memorized one verse. 1 Samuel 17:45. Then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord God of hosts, the God of armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. 1 Samuel 17:45. The whole 17th chapter of 1 Samuel is the story of David and Goliath. I know where it is because of one verse. It's kind of like the handle on a purse. Lady, when you reach down and get your purse, you don't put your arms around it. You just reach down and get the handle, and you can pick up the whole thing. You can take one verse and pull out the whole chapter. I could tell you what happened from Genesis chapter 39 through Genesis chapter 50, because one day I memorized Genesis 39, 9 through 12, Genesis 39, 23, Genesis 41, 28. I memorized Genesis 41, 51, 52, 48, 7, and Genesis 50, 19 and 20. Now, I didn't memorize those in any order. I may memorize one out of Proverbs, the next one may be out of Matthew, the next one may be, but after I've memorized them over a period of time, I put them in a little box, Genesis through Revelation, I review them that way, I can tell you exactly. I know what happened from Genesis 39 to Genesis 39, 9 through 12 to Genesis 39, 23. I can tell you what happened. And then from there until 41, 38, I can tell you what happened to that. There. And then on and on. I can tell you the whole story from Genesis 39 through Genesis chapter 50 due to about seven verses that I memorized. You don't have to take them out of context. The greatest way in the world. When you memorize a verse, read the context before it, read it after it, learn the verse, see it to that context, and you can pull out huge sections of Scripture because of key verses. I don't memorize much as far as chapters. Some people do. But if you memorize 30 chapters, you've got a chapter a day to review, to keep it. I find that people don't have problems with the seventh chapter of Romans. They have problems with pride. They have problems with different areas. So I memorize key verses. Somebody could say, well, let's pray. Well, if there were 30 of you here and we were fixing to pray and I wanted to, I can think of prayer and bells begin to ring in my hand. Ding, 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 ding. You get Genesis 19:27. You get Matthew 4:4. You get 1 John 5:14-15. You get John 7:7-11. Colossians 1:9-11. Philippians 1:9-11. Ephesians 3:14-20. I mean, you memorize verses on different areas so that any time the Holy Spirit can use them to help someone. I never know any day I ever live what question a student's going to ask. And I want him to know where I get my answers. Not that you always plop a verse on him, but when they begin to ask questions and things that relate to life, about finances, about dating, about anything, I want to be able to go and have it in my heart at any time where I can share with a student and let him see, because the day's going to come, he's not going to be around me. And I want him to know where to go for help. And so, memorize verses. Now, and some people say, well, I don't see any need to memorize. I got a Bible, I can read it anytime I want to. Have you ever noticed that usually when you're tempted, you don't have your Bible open? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed out in the world at work when you have an opportunity to witness, you don't usually have a Bible that you're looking at? Have you ever noticed when a friend asks a question and maybe you're having a cup of coffee or something, you have a chance to share with someone, you're not sitting there with an open Bible? You know, if I were to go to a doctor and I say to this doctor, sir, I feel terrible. And he says, well, describe your symptoms. And I tell him how terrible I'm feeling. And he says, well, just a minute. And he goes in his little inner office and I can see these books on the shelf and I hear him muttering to himself. And he says, you know, I studied about what he's got when I think it's a sophomore in medical school. And he gets a book off his shelf and he begins to thumb through it. And then he says, no, maybe it wasn't when I was a sophomore, maybe as a junior. And he gets another book. And he says, well, maybe it wasn't physiology. But he looks in that book and he says, maybe it's anatomy. And he looks in another book. In the meantime, I'm sitting out there and I feel terrible. So he comes back out in a few minutes and he says, Mr. Barnett, you know, I've studied about what you have. I know I've read about that. I know I've studied about that. But I can't find it right now. Could you come back next week? Well, I don't know the way I feel if I could or not. I'm not sure I'll be alive next week. But I know one thing, I wouldn't come back to that dumb doctor. And how many of us are the same way? You think, Well, you have a chance to share them. You say, oh yeah, Brother Tom preached about that last week. Let's see, I think it was Galatians. Well, no, maybe it's Ephesians. No, maybe it's Exodus. No wonder a lot of people don't have confidence in what we have to say. Now, another one. I don't have time. Folks, I'm not going to buy that one. That is not your problem. You know, I keep saying in front of one of my Bibles, the lack of the study of the Scriptures is not for a lack of time, it's for a lack of heart. Average American spends 20, and this was a statistic a few years ago, it's probably worse now, spends over 20 hours a week with the television on in their home. You know, one of the great things that I'm going to share with you this morning about how to memorize verses, do it in odd moments. Do it in time that other people waste. Doing it when you're waiting in a doctor's office. Doing it when you're waiting at a red light. Do it. Guys, you can watch all the ball games you're currently watching and just have the flip button and do it during the commercials. You can memorize hundreds of verses just during commercials. And you could not believe what that would mean to you just using odd moments. It doesn't take a great deal of time. It's just a little bitty something. You know, you could come to the University of Oklahoma and take someone in. Let's say, for example, you want to learn about butterflies. Simple thing, butterflies. You take 10 minutes a day to read about butterflies. And after a couple of days, you come to me and you say, oh, Max, I've been learning about butterflies. Do you know there are big butterflies and little butterflies? I say, oh, I knew that. Do you know there are solid colored butterflies and speckled butterflies? I knew that. But you keep reading 10 minutes a day. You read about butterflies for 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes a day. At the end of the year, you would know more about butterflies than any student at the University of Oklahoma. You read about butterflies for 10 minutes a day, and at the end of 4 years, you would know more about butterflies than any professor at the University of Oklahoma. And someday you graduate from that university, you have kids, he comes back to the University of Oklahoma, he goes to the library, picks up a book, and you wrote the stupid book on butterflies. You are authority on butterflies, and you only did it 10 minutes a day. It's not a matter of time. You've got the time, and I'll share with you later how you can use it. Now, if you did this, how would it help you? One way, it would help you to witness. Somebody says, and I've done this with groups, I said, well, if I could share with you how you... And we'll talk about memorizing one verse a day. And anybody's baby sister can memorize one verse a week. One verse a week. That'd be 52 at the end of the year. 1 year from today, you could walk into this auditorium with 52 verses you could quote word perfectly without making a bobble. And I've done this with students. Sometime I'd hand him a Bible and ask him to read a certain verse. And if he made a bobble, I could quote it better than he could read it. Because when you memorize a verse out of whatever translation you're using, you go over and over. Don't just knock around on it. Don't substitute your words. If you do, you'll never get deep roots in your mind. You memorize it word perfectly. How would that help you? Somebody says, well, it helped me witness. That's right. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready always, always to give an answer to every man that asks you of the reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. You know, in Jeremiah, he was preaching, he was witnessing, and people were mocking him. In Jeremiah 20 verse 7, they're mocking him. And in verse 9, Jeremiah 20 verse 9, he said, then I said, I will not speak anymore in his name, but his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I could not hold back, I could not keep from speaking. And the word of God will do that. You remember when Jesus was walking along the road on Emmaus after he rose from the dead, and the two disciples were walking along, and in Luke 24:27, he said, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures of things concerning himself. And after Jesus prayed with him and left, one turned to the other in verse 32 and said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Did not our hearts burn within us? And I tell you, you get the Word of God in your heart and people can be around you and their hearts will burn. I remember when Preacher Hallett, pastor of First Baptist Church, and Norman for so long, such a tremendous man of the Word. One day his wife called before he died and said, preacher needs to go to the doctor. Can you take him? I said, I'd love to take him. I picked him up. We were just backing out of the driveway, and he began to share. He always memorized a psalm a week. And he was memorizing scripture, and he began to share with me about the Lord and out of the Word. And I mean, we go to the doctor and we bring him back. So I go to Miss Halleck and I said, Miss Halleck, if preacher ever has to go to the doctor again, you call me. So one day she called. I had an appointment. I didn't feel like I could break. So I went to one of the students and I said, Brett, preacher Halleck has to go to the doctor. Could you take him this afternoon? And he said, yeah, I could do that. You know, when Brett got back, he came in my office. You know what he said? If preacher ever has to go to the doctor, you call me. And you know, any time you ever got with him, you were blessed. Because through the years of the Word he shared, I remember a well-known pastor one day asking me to go down to southern Oklahoma with him. I was in the car with him all day. I began to ask him some questions. I'd ask him, what was the greatest revival you were ever in? What happened? He'd tell one joke right after the other. I could not tell you to this day one thing I learned from that man. Because it was obvious the Word was not living vitally in his heart. Yeah, it will help you to witness. I promise you that. Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I can point you to a girl at the University of Oklahoma a number of years ago. I was never around her. I can honestly say never one time was I around her for 15 minutes but what she was talking about her fiancé. You know, what is in the well of your heart will come up in the bucket of your mouth. If you will get the Word of God into your heart, you're going to find tremendous opportunities to share it. Well, there are other reasons. What are some other reasons why we ought to memorize? It'll help you to witness. It'll help you to grow. 1 Peter 2:2 is newborn babes. Desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow by. Grow thereby. Acts 20:32. Now, brother, I commend you to God and the Word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those that are sanctified. And the writer of Hebrews bemoans the fact of what's happening among the Christians that he saw. And he said, when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, and you become like babes who have need of milk. For everyone who desires milk, he said he's a babe. Now look, God says when we ought to be teaching others, we're babes, and we have need ourselves of the first principles of the oracles of God. And we're like babies. Yes, that will help you to grow. You want to grow as a Christian? Begin to get the Word of God in your heart so He can work on you. And you'll be amazed at times the way God will use that. God will use it to counsel others. Others have questions. In Proverbs 22, 21 and 21 says, have not I written to you excellent things? God says, I've written to you excellent things in counsel and knowledge, that you might know the certainty of the words of truth, that you might share the certainty of the words of truth to those who come to you. God's given us tremendous things to encourage others. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And I want to pause here just a moment. Guys, you ought to make a decision once and for all that there will never be a curse word go past your lips, or never a story that is the least bit off color. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. And Psalms 12:6 says, every word of God is pure. If it's not a pure word, you can be sure of one thing. It is not from God. So let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying. In other words, it's good to building up others. And so, yes, you memorize the Scripture and you're going to find tremendous ways you can encourage and help other people. Many times the students come and he's had a question. We've talked about his problem and some things. I say, you know, here might be something that helped. And they say, oh, yeah. And I've had students to come back and say, you know, you won't believe how God used that verse to change my life. It'll give you guidance. You're praying about something. Psalms 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119. Verse 133 says, the entrance of thy word gives light. It gives understanding unto the simple. You want to know what to do about certain things? You'll be amazed at how God will use his word to throw light on what you ought to do in any given situation. It will help to give you guidance. It will help for God to speak to you. When I was in seminary one day, I'd made a mistake. I'd been asked to speak at a youth rally on Saturday night. I'd been asked to go with one of my professors to Louisiana to speak on Sunday morning. I thought the youth rally was on Friday night. So I was supposed to be in Henrietta, Texas, and West Monroe, Louisiana, on the same day. And I mean, I'd made a mistake. I thought the youth rally was Friday night. It was Saturday night. And I happened to be at seminary one day, and I saw one of my buddies, and he said, "Max, we're really looking forward. You're speaking at this youth rally on Saturday night." I said, "Saturday night? I thought it was Friday night." He said, "No, it's Saturday night." He said, "I'm on the committee. I know." And I said, "I'm supposed to be in West Monroe, Louisiana on Saturday night." And he said, "Well, Max, which one of these engagements did you take first?" And I said, "I took yours." And he said, "That's where I think you ought to be." I thought, he's right. You know, immediately a verse came into mind. I began to pray. I thought, "God, I don't see any way I can get out of this with a good testimony. I have made a mistake." You know, immediately a verse popped into my mind I'd been working on. Psalms 50:15. "Call upon me in the day of trouble." And I thought, "God, this is it. This is a day of trouble. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me." So I thought, I got to go back and talk to my professor. So I went into my professor's office and I said, "Sir, I hate to tell you this, but I can't go with you to Louisiana. I've made a terrible mistake. I'm booked two places on the same night." He just started laughing. He thought that was the funniest thing. He said, "You know, Max, the people have offered to fly me to that church to speak." He said, "I'm worn out. I don't need to drive from Fort Worth to West Monroe, Louisiana. But I had promised you you could go with me. I've been trying to think all week how I could tell you, please don't go." And you know, I can look back through my verse box verses. I could tell you story after story, hour after hour, of way I've seen God answer and see God move as a result of a single verse of scriptures. I can honestly say to you this morning, if you had the power to just block out of my mind the verses, just the verses that I've memorized, and you could come down here and lay $10 million on the floor and say, "Max, you can have that. You can still have your Bible. You can have everything you know. But if I could just block out of your mind the verses you know, I promise you I wouldn't touch it." One of the greatest single blessings that's ever come to my life has been scripture memory. Now let me say this to you. I've not done it perfectly. I don't know anybody in the world that's ever started scripture memory that hadn't run into some problems with it. It's hard to stay at it. And there's times that I've not done it very well. I've got some verses that they're kind of rusty. You know, sometimes you look at them and you think, re-memorize them. And that's okay. You're going to have some problems with it. But let me tell you, it's worth the fight. It is a fight. And there are many, many ways it would help you. It helps you to get a quick working knowledge of the Bible. It helps you to use time that other people waste. One day I'm driving, I've got to go to Falls Creek. Now I can have the radio on, listen to some dumb hillbilly pluck on a guitar or something like that. But I thought, I'm going to use this time. I'm going to study the Bible. Now I don't have my Bible out, I don't have my verses out, I don't want to run over somebody. But I think, I'm going to review the book of Genesis. Well, what's the first verse I learned? I learned Genesis 1:1. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and earth." I'm not looking at anything. I'm watching. I'm driving. And then what's the next thing? Well, Genesis 2:18, "And the Lord God said, it's not good that the man should be alone." And I can go to Genesis 2:24 and 2:25 and Genesis 5:24 and 17:1 and 19:27, 22, 26 through 28, 29, 20, 32, 26 through 28, 39, 9 through 12, 39, 23. In Genesis 41:38, Genesis 41:51 and 52, Genesis 48:7, and Genesis 50:19 and 20. Now, I'm not going to take the time to quote all those verses to you, but I promise you I can. And I'm going along and just quoting verses. I'm having a ball. And last night I tried to jot down some notes about this, and then I just pulled up in front of the fireplace and thought I wanted to review some verses. And I happened to be in Psalms. I got to Psalms 65:2, and I just had to quit. "Oh, thou that hearest prayer, until thee shall all flesh come." And God just really spoke to me about praying. And I didn't get beyond that verse. I was going to review some others, but I just thought, God, I need to pray. Now, there are many, many other ways it can help you. But let me just quickly bring this to close and say this. If you want to memorize verses, the first thing to do is just commit to do it. You can memorize a verse a week. A year from now, you could know 52. If you did that for 10 years, you'd know 520. For you higher math majors, 10 years from today, and most of you wouldn't be old, old people by then. And some of you that are old and you're facing retirement and you don't know how your health is going to be, you need verses like Psalm 56:3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." I tell you what, we need to be memorizing verses till the day we die. I hope the day I die, I've been working on a verse that week. Now, time's not the issue. I wanted to show something. Do you have a second hand on your watch? Will you tell me, you watch that second hand, and you tell me when to start, and I'll tell you when to stop, and let's see how many seconds it is. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." John 3:16. Stop. 9 seconds. I quoted to you John 3:16, the reference before it, the verse, and the reference after it. It took 9 seconds. You can review about 5 verses you well memorized in 1 minute. I was in New Zealand. I was talking to a missionary, memorized verses. One day he handed me his verse pack, had 50 verses in it. He said, "Max, I'll quote you these 50 verses, and I'll give you a little short devotional on 2 of them, and I'll be through in 10 minutes. And I timed him, and in less than 10 minutes, he had quoted 50 verses. I know a man, a friend of mine told me one time, he reviews 30 verses a morning while he's shaving with his electric razor. He gets through 900 verses a month while he's shaving. Now, the problem is not we do not have time. Now, when you memorize a verse, let me say this to you. When you memorize it, you say the reference before it. And don't pause. Don't say John 3:16 and pause and say, "For God so loved the world." You run that together. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." You want to get that address cemented to the verse. And you say it phrase by phrase. "For God so loved the world." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." "For John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave." And you pick it up little by little. Now, once you can quote it word perfectly, without making a bobble, say it that day another 30 times. Take you about 6 minutes. Say it another 30 times. You know, one of the reasons most people don't memorize verses, they never really get them down. They knock around on them. You say it 30 times. The next day you go over 2 or 3 times. You don't have that all that many anyway, so just work on them. Go over and over and over them. Review it every day for 2 months. If you're reviewing it every day for 2 months, you will never have over 8 old verses that you're working on. Now, do this. Memorize your verses well. Write them on cards. I put John 3:16 at the top. In the left-hand corner, I put the date. If it's February the 21st, I put February 21st. 2001, I put a date 2 months later, February, March, April, 21st. Then I flip the verse over, I write it out, and I go over and over it. When April 21st comes up, I know I've reviewed that verse every day. Now, when you leave here today, there are 3 places here that there are going to be little cards, and I'd suggest you write them on cards. I feel like I'm undressed if I don't have my verse pack with me. It's always in my pocket so that when I'm waiting, I can pull it out and use it. Ladies, keep it in your purse. Keep it with you. You're waiting in a doctor's office, you can review your verses. All of you are busy. I'm talking about scripture memory for busy people. Even the bum on the street just barely gets in the whole day. I mean, everybody's busy. And so you keep your verse cards with you. And you go over and over and over them. Now, if you will do that, and this week, memorize 1 Corinthians 10:31. There's a little leaflet out that you'll be given out here. For $1, you can pick up the verse pack to keep your verses in. I can put those in my pocket or in my hand when I'm standing in line at a cafe or a restaurant or someplace. I can have these in my hand. Nobody knows what I'm doing, and I can review them. You don't walk around like this, like Spiritual Joe all the time. But by having them on little cards, you can memorize them. Now, this morning, for $1, you can pick up the verse packs. Monica, was one of our students years ago and really picked up on this. And if you, she can be really helpful to you. She's written a little book on how to be successful in scripture memory. Now, let me assure you, if we run out today, don't worry about it. There'll be more next Sunday. All you got to do this week is memorize 1 Corinthians 10:31. We've worked out a little memory course, Glorify the Lord. It's an acrostic. Once you memorize that, you can share it with anyone. Let me encourage you. You want to memorize verses. It'll be one of the greatest single blessings that'll ever come to your life. You can get your children doing it. Anybody from 6 years old to any age can memorize a verse a week. Whatever you do, get the Word of God in your heart.